Welcome to Frenzy on the Podcast, right here on Ruby City News. I'm Noah Forrest, and I'm the host of this little show. Today I'm really excited because we have on David Wayne. He's the co-writer and the director of the new film Role Models, and he was on Stella, and he's on Wayney Days. He did Wet Hot American Summer and The Ten, and he did The State, and I'm just a huge, huge fan of his. And his new movie, Role Models, is hilarious. It opens up November 7th, and I saw it, and it's really, really funny. I think it might be one of the best comedies I've seen so far this year in terms of just pure laughs. And, of course, that's entirely subjective. But so I'm really excited to have David on the show. I'm actually a little bit nervous, but I guess let's just talk to David Wayne then. All right. Okay, so I wanted to start by saying, first of all, I'm a huge fan of yours. You know, I mean, I've been kind of obsessed with Wayney Days, and I was such a big fan of Stella, not to mention Wet Hot American Summer, The Ten, The State, all of that. So,
oh my God,
I could just
I'm very flattered.
Yes, I could just gush forever about that. So, but
and I'm one of the Noah Forrest fan club guys.
Oh,
on the internet.
You're the one, huh?
Yeah.
So, I wanted to start by saying, I wanted to ask you, how did you come to be involved in Role Models?
Basically, this project was in development, and Paul Rudd was the star of it, and he had a bunch of great ideas for it, and eventually was asked to do a draft of the script. And at that point, he kind of changed it a little bit, and then I came on, and they hired me to direct it at that point. And he introduced me to the producers in the studio, and they gave us the chance right before shooting to kind of really sit down, the two of us, with Ken Marino and rewrite it from scratch, which was a great opportunity.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of clear from watching it that it's not – I mean, it has your sensibility, but it's a little more, I guess, conventional than your previous two films.
Absolutely,
and I wonder if that is that because it was developed as something else before you guys got there, and I guess you kind of answered that.
I mean, yeah, it's just clearly just a different, you know, it's a more mainstream, more designed to be widely appealing movie. My first two features were much more like almost comedy experiments.
Yeah,
and so this was sort of at its essence a different thing. My challenge was, can I go into a mainstream movie like this but still lend my voice and my sense of humor to it? And so that's what I tried to do.
Yeah, and it definitely feels like you in a lot of parts. But I think Paul Rudd's character is kind of, you know, he's so locked into playing, you know, kind of that deadpan, you know, kind of, I don't know, it just seems like him, I guess. And I think the really interesting thing was Sean William Scott, what he brought to the movie, because he's kind of this different animal altogether, I guess. And I was wondering, you know,
right,
how did he get involved in the movie? Was it your idea to bring him in, or?
Sean and Paul were part of it before, and in fact, the movie started off as a drama at Regency, and it kind of went through various stages. But what appealed to me was I really like Sean William Scott and Paul Rudd for sort of very different, in different ways, because they're very different kinds of guys and different kinds of comic personas. So what I tried to do was embrace that and, like, you know, work with the fact that they're so different and their characters are so different and their characters are often clashing. And so it was fun to, like, let that naturally happen on screen.
Yeah, Sean William Scott, I mean, he's really excellent in this, you know, and he was in another movie this year, I guess it came out this year, it's called The Promotion, which he was also really, he's great in that, and I guess, you know, how did you know that he'd be able to bring this kind of, like, you know, gentler touch to your movie than he might have displayed in the past? I mean, was that a concern for you? Because, I mean, he's not,
go ahead. Can you finish what you're saying?
I was just going to say, you know, from his previous films, you know, he's a I guess, a little more broad. And in this film, he seems to be a little bit more, I don't know, whatever the opposite of broad is. Subtle.
Well, I think, yeah, he's more developed, I think. And that's what I was excited about, is he's like, we're taking, like, the things that you like about him and, you know, that, you know, he's so iconic as Stifler and some of his earlier characters. And then now he's a little, he is a person and as an actor is a little more older and a little more grown up. And so here's an opportunity to add a little something extra to him. And then pairing him with Paul and kind of putting him in that, in our world with all our other players, I think, you know, just was a great context for him to do something for the next step for him, I think, comedically.
Yeah. And, I mean, Paul Rudd, you know, was someone who, I guess it wasn't until Wet Hot American Summer that a lot of people saw that, like, hey, like, he's this really kind of untapped comedic, you know, actor. Because, you know, prior to that, I mean,
right,
he'd been in, like, you know, I guess Clueless, like the Jennifer Aniston movie.
Right.
And a couple, I think he was, you know, he was trying to, it seemed like he was positioning himself.
200 cigarettes.
Yeah, he's trying to position himself, it seemed to be kind of more of like a romantic lead. And I think it was in Wet Hot that he opened up a lot of eyes. And, I mean, I remember the scene in particular when he's, you know, picking up after he knocks the tray in the cafeteria, and he starts picking everything up and starts, you know, going, ugh. I think that was the scene where I was like, wow, this guy is really hilarious. And so I guess I wanted to ask, does he thank you every day for that?
Well, I think he has done more than thank me. He's, you know, like, if it wasn't for him, I don't think that the studio was going to ring my bell to direct Role Models, you know.
Yeah.
For example, but I mean, you know, I think we've definitely both tried to work with each other a lot over the years because we definitely share a sensibility, and you know, I think in those movies, you know, like Object of My Affection or whatever, that was more Hollywood trying to put him in a certain category.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was very smart to resist that temptation early on and kind of not go down that route. Cause he was, you know, I just think he's such a much more diverse and talented and funny actor. And so he did a lot of theater stuff and a lot of independent stuff and a lot of, and then started slowly but surely really getting into all these comedies with Judd Apatow and myself and Adam McKay and such.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have kind of like a repertory company going on, you know, with a lot of people that you know from the state, I guess, and other people, even, I mean, like Elizabeth Banks from Wet Hot American Summer, and she's been in, you know, a couple episodes of Wayne Days. And I was wondering, you know, for guys like 80 Miles and do you write parts like with them in mind, or do you kind of just write the part and then they bring their own kind of sensibility to it?
I mean, it's both. I mean, you know, like, for example, in Role Models, the character of Kuzik was written sort
right.
of like underwritten. It's like a random guy in the layer live action role play world and almost had almost no lines.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if we cast Joe Latrulio, he would come in and create a character that was, like, awesome and memorable and steal every scene, which is exactly what he did.
Absolutely.
You know, on the other hand, a character like the Martin in Role Models, played by A.D. Miles, we kind of had him in mind because it's such his, like, shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that, you know, there's nobody that I know that can play that type better than Miles. And so we somewhat had him in mind as we were crafting that together. The Jane Lynch character, we entirely wrote with her in mind.
Yeah, it seems kind of like nobody could play that role but her, looking back on it now. But
very true, and I guess if it wasn't her, we would have probably had to rewrite it.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, was it difficult to direct, you know, I guess, you know, Bobby Thompson is a young guy. You know, was it difficult to direct him in this kind of very R-rated film?
I mean, you know, he seemed to fit right in. I mean, he's a young guy, but he's also pretty experienced. He's
mm-hmm.
been in a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows, and he's done stand-up comedy, and so he's far from a newbie. And you know, the swearing wasn't ever really the issue. There was really no issue, but, you know, it's the only thing that sometimes we'd lose sight of is he is still this 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he would get tired sometimes or whatever, but other than that, he was a pro, and he was, you know, he was right there up with everyone else improvising and coming up with funny stuff to do.
Yeah. Well, and the other major character is played by Christopher Mintz. Is it Place? I never remember.
Place.
Okay.
And
he's terrific, too. And was that, I mean, how'd you get the idea to put him in the movie? I mean,
that was the thing where we had been looking around for this character, you know, actors for a long time, and really couldn't find the right kid who could be both real and relatable and also really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just right for the part. And so we were casting all over the country, and finally it was around the time Superbad came out, and I saw it in the theater, and I was like, oh my God, that's the guy. And so within like 2 days, I like tracked him down and met him. And as soon as I met him, I could see that he wasn't really McLovin, that he was just a great actor.
Yeah.
And so that's when I like said to the studio, like, give this guy whatever he wants. Like, we need to get him.
Yeah. And he really proved in this movie that he's a very capable actor. Cause it's, I mean, he's very funny in it, but I mean, there's a lot of there's a couple of like poignant scenes, you know, and the movie's basically about.
I agree.
Yeah, and the movie's basically about, you know, kind of accepting and being happy with, you know, who you are and your place in life and all of that, and he really kind of brings that home, especially towards the end of the movie. So
I mean, I thank you, and I feel like that if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't been able to sell that as an actor, which is really very little to do with me, mm-hmm. then we wouldn't, it would be a much lesser movie right there.
Yeah. So another thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, since you have kind of so many talents, you know, I mean, you write, you direct, you act, you know, what is directing the thing that you're really passionate about? Is that what you would prefer? If you had to choose one?
I mean, being the sort of ADD guy that I am, I've always done all of it, and I've always enjoyed kind of switching around, and I've always considered all of those things as very much different steps in the same process.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very strange for me to, I would feel like I was, it would be strange for me to just put one thing down completely and only do the other. So I mean, I was forced to choose. I honestly don't know what I would do. I suppose I would direct, just because that in itself involves so many different types of jobs.
Right. And
I like the variety.
Yeah. and I guess the other thing is, you know, would you be interested in making a film that was a little bit more dramatic? You know, like your writing partner, Ken Marino, you know, I know he wrote Diggers, which was, you know, a little more dramatic.
Right.
I was wondering if you'd be interested.
I would. In fact, Diggers was originally me and Ken developed that project for me to direct.
Oh.
And I'm the executive producer of that film. And we, as it turned out, that Diggers was greenlit for production the same day as Stella, the Comedy Central series,
mm-hmm.
was. And so I had to do Stella. And so that I ended up not directing Diggers. But the short answer to your question is I would love to do something less comedic at some point.
Right. Well, Stella, I mean, I'm glad you did Stella, because I wasn't aware of Stella until the series came out, and I kind of got instantly hooked by it. I think it's the funniest kind of variety show. It's not really a variety show. The funniest sketch comedy show, rather. Although it's not really sketches either. You know,
I'll let you bury your own self.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
It's hard to pigeonhole it, I guess, is the problem. It really doesn't. It's a sitcom, I guess, but not really. But
yeah, I mean, we try to keep it out of any particular category and just be very true to the way this particular three characters and that shtick had organically developed over years and working and doing it in nightclubs and then in our shorts that were on the internet and then on the road. And so I think that's what gave the series its unique feel that it wasn't like us sitting down and saying, what's a TV series, you know?
Yeah, and I was wondering if that's going to come back for another season. It's been a while since it was on Comedy Central, so...
Well, it was canceled very definitively and unceremoniously by Comedy Central, so...
Really?
Unless...
I'm sure you would know. It's not like, really, it did? You're crazy. It's still on.
It was 3 years ago. It was one of the lowest rated shows they've ever had, and they canceled it. It was very sort of a straightforward chain of events.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. But, I'm sorry to reopen that old wound then. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It is funny. For some reason, people do ask me all the time, like, when's the next season already? And I'm like, you know, what happened was it was on the air, and then it was canceled.
I was holding out hope that you guys were, like, working on it. You know, like, it's just like, you know, new Guns N' Roses album or something. It's just taken a really long time to come up with another.
No, the truth is, I mean, you know, I'll put this out in the world. The truth is we would have been happy to do another series, a season right away, and they just, you know, they were not interested.
Well, I guess you have Wayne E. Days, though, which, you know, has kind of a similar sensibility, and you get to do that on My Damn Channel, I believe.
Correct.
So you have a lot of the same kind of, you know, everybody in your repertory company and everything's in that movie, including A.D. Miles, who I just think is hilarious. But is there going to be more Wayne E. Days? Because I know the third season just ended.
I think so. You know, right now we've got 26 of them up there that everyone can chew on. Mm-hmm. And then I think we'll do more on the web and or maybe in some TV version. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. We'll see.
All right. And another thing I want to ask you is kind of which filmmakers, you know, comedic or otherwise, you know, influence or inspire you?
Well, certainly growing up, I was, you know, more than any other filmmaker, it was Woody Allen for me. I really just watched his movies over and over and over again.
Mm.
And I also loved, as I got a little bit older, Robert Altman and Mike Nichols and, you know, just comedically in general, Steve Martin was, like, so forming for me.
I love Steve Martin, yeah.
More currently, I really love Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of filmmakers that I really admire make movies that are a little bit more serious, quote unquote, than what I do. But what are you gonna do?
Well, Woody Allen, you know, started out making kind of irreverent comedies, and then he kind of, you know, it wasn't until Annie Hall, which was I guess like 8 years into his filmmaking career, 9 years in, that he kind of did something that kind of straddled the line between comedy and drama. So.
It's true.
So you got some time, but but do you have any particular favorite Woody Allen movies or period?
You know, someone asked me this recently, and it was so funny because I ended up basically naming all of them, like as if I literally just rattled off every Woody Allen movie. But I mean, you know, I really do feel like he's made 39 movies, and probably like 15 of them are masterpieces, in my opinion.
I'm with you.
And some of the early comedies, you know, I think the most recent one that I really, really loved was Husbands and Wives and Sweet and Lowdown.
Mm.
And I did like Deconstructing Harry. And then all of his, you know, the first 15 of his films are really classics. I mean, they're worth studying and going over again. And he's just trying so many things and experimenting with comedy and with film and with dialogue, and I just really, it's going to film school just watching what he's trying to do.
Absolutely, and of his recent films, I mean, I always thought that Everyone Says I Love You was kind of underrated. Because I think that's one that I go back to and watch a lot of his recent films.
Oh, interesting. See, that's one I haven't really looked back at many times, but I will take your advice.
Yeah, it's worth checking out again. And the last thing I want to ask you is, and this is what I kind of ask everybody, we went over this a little bit, but if you had to pick, you know, kind of your favorite movies of all time, what would they be?
Uh-huh. I mean, I really love Nashville. And I love Do the Right Thing.
Oh, Do the Right Thing's amazing.
I love movies that, you know, my favorite movies were like Sex, Lies, and Videotape,
mm-hmm.
or The Ice Storm.
Yeah.
The movies that are my absolute favorites are the ones when you get up from it and you feel like you've just been through it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you've been through a whole thing. I mean, Tootsie, The China Syndrome, you know?
Well, it's that,
like you've really been through a genuine experience and you're kind of like exhausted and can't get up from your seat. That's my favorite kind of movie.
Yeah, it's like that feeling like when you finish a great book and like you put it down and you just kind of stare into space for half an hour. Because you're just kind of replaying it in your mind.
Exactly. Or you're like, what did I just experience? I particularly remember that feeling in some of those movies I just mentioned, like literally sitting in the theater. I mean, and more obviously a movie like Schindler's List. But like, you know, you're just like, I don't even know what to say right now. Like, this will take me a while to like process. You know?
Well, you mentioned Do the Right Thing. And I think that's definitely a movie for me where after that film ended, I was just like, wow. I think it even starts, I was already kind of reeling from that moment when Mookie throws the garbage can through the window of cells, and you're just kind of like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on anymore, but this feeling inside of me is so strange. You know, it's just kind of like 1,000 different emotions at the same time.
And especially since, you know, what I find so particularly powerful about that film is this is a world and characters that I don't really know very well in my real life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like, you know, I'm not involved in like in the neighborhood racial tension or anything of the sort. And yet it just hit me as if it was like the very existence.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what else I felt that way? Go on. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I had that feeling. The last time in a movie that I really think I felt that way was after I saw Lost in Translation.
Oh, yeah.
Really like.
What's that combination of, you know, that music starts, you know, it comes in perfectly right after, I guess, Bill Murray whispers in Scarlett Johansson's ear. And it's all those, and you see her face, and then there's all the shots of, you know, him in the car and the music. I think it's Just Like Honey is the song.
That's it.
You know, and it's just like, wow, this is like that perfect kind of cinematic moment, you know, that, you know, I only could appreciate having witnessed the past hour and 40 minutes, you know?
And that's what's so great, yeah. And then when you see it, you know, in our age of like everything's in snippets and you see it on an award show or whatever, it's like, what was that? But you have to like go through the whole experience.
Yeah. Well,
I would love to do, you know, all of my movies so far have been by design much more like this is fun and funny and hopefully you'll just enjoy yourself and then you go home. And that would be a great next goal to like really create something where you wallop somebody more like that in your gut.
Well, I think the best thing any filmmaker can do is to just, you know, leave your audience satisfied at the end. And I think you should be proud of yourself because the three films that you've directed and every project you've been involved with has been enormously satisfying.
Well, thank you very much. I don't disagree with you in terms of, I love, when I watch those things, I love them. I'm definitely not one of those guys that hates my own work. Like,
yeah.
I definitely like, I get a kick out of it. And I, you know, I saw Wet Hot American Summer at the Diablo Cody film series in LA a few months ago. And I was like, clapping at the end. So.
Well, you should, because it's a great movie. I mean, I think that once you're able to master the art of comedy, as you have, especially in film, because you never know how it's going to translate when everything's edited together. I think once you can do, you know, those kinds of beats, I think everything else, you know, kind of can be easy, or not easy, but easier.
Well,
and
let's see.
and I think you're capable of doing a great dramatic film or continuing to do great comedies because you're an enormous talent. So,
thank you very much. Well, let's talk in the next after the next film comes out, we'll see how far we've come.
All right. Well, thanks again. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Okay, thanks. That's all the time we have for Frenzy on the Podcast. I want to thank David Wayne again for joining me this week. It was really a pleasure, and I'm excited to see what he does next. Role Models opens November 7th everywhere. Go see it. It's very, very funny. And as always, you can email me at noah@moviecitynews.com.